North Dakota farmers were pegged to plant 3.2 million acres of corn in 2020. But look around parts of the state and you'll see some 375-day or even older corn still in the field. Farmers there have been dealing with this seasonality for years, the most recent run beginning in 2018. Hello, everybody. I'm Paul Yeager, and this is the M2M Podcast, a production of Iowa PBS and the Market to Market TV show. Farmer Randy Melvin is a director with the North Dakota Corn Growers and farms with his family about 40 miles west of Fargo in the community of Buffalo. We talk about the weather challenges and strategies of a spring harvest in this installment of the M2M Podcast. So, Randy, you finished up the pinto bean planting this morning. How'd that go for you?
You know, it's actually surprisingly, we finally got some decent seedbed conditions here. Said it took till the middle of June to finally get it. But, you know, we got our, what we could get wrapped up. The calendar is basically telling us to stop. And so we got our edible beans planted. Not as many acres as we had hoped, but that's kind of the story of this year for a lot of areas in North Dakota.
Tell me what all the crops you have in your operation there.
Yeah, so in our family operations, my parents, my brother, my wife, and myself, and we raise corn, navy beans, pinto beans. Some years we have sunflowers, black turtle beans, which are edible bean also, soybeans, wheat, and in the rotation. And in the last couple of years, we started experimenting with some rye for cover crops.
I found that I don't know if everybody knows how diverse the North Dakota farmer is.
You know, and that's one of the things for North Dakota is, I mean, there's multiple crops that a farmer can choose from besides those I mentioned. There's sugar beets in our area. There's potatoes. There are barley, durum. You know, lots of different crops that a producer can raise. So you have options.
If you look at the statistics from USDA, wheat is still by far the biggest crop. A couple of different varieties there in your state. But corn keeps moving up. You're almost in the top 10 of production acres. You're right there with a lot of states that you think produce a lot more corn. Why is corn becoming popular in your state?
You know, there's always been corn in our area. I mean, my father started raising corn back in 1979, and there's people raising corn before then. But as the genetics and technology has improved, the corn area has expanded west and north of the state, especially the shorter season varieties. So it's allowed the opportunity for growers in North Dakota to diversify their operations more with the ethanol plants, with the livestock industry, you know, as far as an opportunity for a corn market there. Canada comes down and gets a lot of corn in some years, also as a market opportunity there for growers. But the other thing about it too is the organic matter and soil health that the corn provides is another reason why a lot of producers are looking at corn or have in the last 10, 15 years in North Dakota.
The organic matter for what other crop is it benefiting?
Well, just the soil health. You know, the residue from that corn plant provides a lot more residue for that soil than, say, a soybean or an edible bean plant does. And wheat only provides so much. And so as far as one of the reasons we like raising corn on our farm is part of the rotation, the soil health that it provides. And that's what we're one of the reasons why we are trying to raise a lot of corn acres on our operation.
When do you remember the first time that you planted corn, or was it before you can remember?
You know, I've been farming for 25 years now. And yeah, I remember back when Dad was planting corn back in the early 80s. And so, I mean, I've been around it most of my life, and it's just become a normal part of our rotation.
What is ideal for you, planting and harvest?
So, yes.
Let's talk dates instead of course, we know conditions. We always want that. But what's the date you like to put it in when you say, golly, we got it in by?
So historically, for us with our soils and our weather in North Dakota, if I can start the last couple of days of April and have my corn in by the 8th or 9th, hopefully by the 10th of May. And normally, if we can start harvest beginning of October and finish before, our goal is usually to finish before Thanksgiving. And hopefully some years we're done by Halloween, you know, beginning of November, but that's kind of the dates that we shoot for normally historically when we raise corn. Now, 2019 and 2020, we didn't start corn planting until the 15th of May. And we went up to the end of May, both 19 and 20, for planting. In 2020, we had the also additional challenge of harvesting our 2019 corn crop. But, you know, that's just the way this year has gone for a lot of producers in this state.
When I originally wanted to talk to you, I was just thinking, oh, we'll talk about 1920. But really, all of this cycle goes back to 2018. What happened?
So in early part of 2018, quite a few counties in the eastern part of the state had a major snowstorm. We're talking 10 to 24 inches of snow. And that snow really set the soybean harvest back and corn harvest back, and it really created wet field conditions. And since October of 18, it's been a cycle of, for a lot of counties in the state, of just wet field conditions, very difficult trying to get crop planted, crop harvested. So it's been a struggle for a lot of producers.
And it doesn't, that snow came in October, or that snow came in September or November? When was it?
It was like the around the 7th or 8th of October, if I remember right, 2018. And the funny part about it is in October 2019, we had a similar storm to the date. And so just two falls in a row, we were hit with difficult weather conditions.
So what people tell me when I talk to them about North Dakota corn, they'll just say, well, why doesn't the ground freeze? They just wait till it freezes and just go right through the snow. We know that doesn't work. Why?
Well, in most cases, a lot of times it will work. In the fall of 2019, the problem is the ground is unthawed, and about Thanksgiving time, we had a blizzard. And that snow insulated that ground. So even though during the winter we had below zero temperatures, that snow insulated that ground and never actually froze. So outside the cornfield, it was froze, but inside the middle of the cornfield, that snow is insulating it. And with the wet, saturated soils, it created very difficult challenges for harvesting for many producers through the months of January through April.
How does that ever fix itself? Where does it get it where it's finally fit? What has to happen?
Well, I mean, you need sunlight, heat, and as we harvested, we started harvest the end of April, and we finished on June 1st. And as we progressed through May, the fields got better and better. You know, with it, we had to be very careful where we went with equipment. But as we got through to the end of May, we were able to get equipment across it without doing a lot of soil damage with ruts, compaction, those types of things. But it still was a challenge that we had to kind of mitigate some of our risks and work around it. But it wasn't until we got in June that things really finally started improving.
Because you have to let the snow melt, and sometimes that won't happen until the 1st of April, right?
Well, we've had snow in our shelter belts in the middle of May before. So the thing about in the middle of the fields, though, the snow did melt middle of April. The problem that we had was were cooler temperatures with some moisture. And so it was really difficult getting into some of the wetter fields to harvest corn, some of the higher ground or ground that was tiled didn't have a problem in, but for the early fields. But those wetter fields, we had to let stand until the end of May, beginning of June, to try and get them harvested. And there's still corn in our area out in the field today.
A lot?
You know, as far as we're in a pocket that has a fair amount, now as far as the corn acres in our area, I'm guessing that there's probably still 5 to 10% of the acres out there still, just in our localized area.
And that's not normal?
That's not normal, no. In 25 years of farming, this is the second time in my career I've combined corn in May and June before.
So the challenges of you're trying to, normally everybody thinks spring, it's time to turn the soil, it's time to smooth it out, plant it. How does that work logistically of trying to prep soil, plant soil, and then still harvest a crop? How do you juggle those days?
That's a very difficult decision, and that's one that each operation has to make. But for us, it was when the thing for this year is the ground really wasn't fit to plant. So we put a priority on harvesting corn on those days. Once we could get some ground dry enough and not mud the corn in, we try to plant corn. And so it's just a balancing act of going back and forth and knowing that that our kind of our motto this spring was that the plan wasn't changing, the plan wasn't working. Because you maybe geared up the plant one day, but you switch gears, you're going to be combining because the ground wasn't ready. And it's all what Mother Nature allowed us to do this spring. We're at her complete mercy.
I think you told me earlier you thought, you know, USDA's pegging you 3.1, 3.2 million. Do you think that much gets planted in your state this year?
On the March planting intention report, USDA had North Dakota 3.1. Now, this is my personal opinion, nobody else's, but I've talked to a lot of my friends and colleagues throughout the industry in the state of North Dakota. Personally, I cannot come up with a scenario that North Dakota hits 2 million acres. Since the middle of May, the number that I personally feel that we're going to be close to is 1.5 million acres of corn in the state of North Dakota. That's my personal opinion, unscientific, but from everybody I've been talking to and trying to gauge what went into the ground of corn acres in North Dakota, that's what I personally believe is going to be a very close number. If it is, I believe that we have very high odds of having a one on the front of the planted acres in North Dakota. And going back in history, we have had anywhere from 3.1 to over 4 million acres of corn in our state. But that's my personal opinion.
So it could be, you know, half of what it normally, or at least is pegged to be, and that's significant. What happens, I think you said you finished corn harvest for this year in 2020 on June 1st. When did you get everything planted for corn then?
We quit planting corn a few days before that just because we're running out of dry ground. And the fact of the matter, too, was that when we harvested some of the corn that we planted last week of May in 2019, there is a sharp yield decline that we saw. And just if it wasn't good planting conditions and the fields were too wet, wasn't a good seed bed, we just weren't going to fight it. And we just felt that we needed to get the corn off, try and get some of our edible bean acres planted because those are contracted.
So how do you work the rotation then? What you thought, what was penciled to be corn, what goes in there now?
Well, ideally we're looking at switching it up to maybe some beans or sunflowers, but as we struggle to get the edible beans planted, because we put our edible beans on last year's corn ground and or prevent a plant from last year. And right now, with the date we're at, those acres are realistically going to be prevent a plant. It's just really too late to comfortably put a crop in past this date.
Did you do many prevent plant acres last year?
We had some last year, but we're going to be a little bit above what we had last year in 2020. As far as percentages yet, I haven't had a chance to sit down and figure out where we're at with acres. But, you know, I know we're going to have more prevent plant acres in 20 than what we did in 19.
And the neighbors are kind of in the same boat?
Yeah, you get, there's a pretty wide swath in North Dakota that is in a similar situation. As far as some people I've talked to, I've heard anywhere from 50% of the farm got planted up to about 80% of the farm got planted. I think there's some that maybe got everything planted. They're probably in a little bit drier pocket or a better situation, but there's a lot of farms that have a lot of acres that were not able to get planted this year.
So let's go to 2019's corn crop. How many acres do you think you had planted?
So in 2019, we were over 1,000 acres on our farm.
Of that 1,000, how much was taken out in 2019?
Over 95%. Oh, in 2019, about less than 5%.
Less than 5 was taken out the same year it was planted. So what was the moisture percentage on the 2019 when you were taking it out?
In the fall or the spring?
In the fall.
In the fall. So when we were looking at the crop in the fall, in November and December, it was mid to upper 20s. There was some stuff that probably is even over 30, but in November. But the reason we made the decision as a family to leave our corn stand over winter was it was extremely high moisture. We had very low test weight. It was immature corn. Then with the immature corn, we also had a lot of broken kernel form material, discounts and damage from that. And so with the decision that we made as a family, we left it stand until spring because it improved in quality, and we had less, we didn't have hardly any discounts. A very, just a couple of varieties, Tesla did increase like I wanted it to out of 10, but majority of our corn had very few discounts this spring. And I was very happy with the quality of it. And it got a little bit too dry this spring, just because I was hoping to harvest in March and April instead of May and June. But, you know, when it's all said and done, for our operation, our family, leaving the corn stand until spring, yes, we lost some bushels by letting it stand over winter, but dollars and cents, we're still net dollars ahead by the discounts, the savings on the discounts and drying and everything, that we're still money ahead by letting it stand over winter.
I think you said it was pretty, it was low teens, what the moisture percentage was when you finally pulled it out.
Unfortunately, it got down to 11 to 13 and a half moisture. But the other part about it is we were harvesting corn that was 54 to 57 and a half pound test weight, which for North Dakota, if we can hit 55, 56, we're very happy. And I'm not going to complain about that. So I was very happy with the quality part of it. And so for us, I'm going to count it as a victory. I'm glad we're done. But I also feel for some of our neighbors that still have corn out in the field.
And that's tough to do, to sit there and see. And in your position of leadership in the North Dakota corn growers, I mean, you're thinking of the whole state and you're representing a district there and you have to kind of report that up. And I'm sure that your other directors have kind of been saying some similar stories.
You know, it is. And it's not just one localized area, whether you're talking about harvest of 2019 corn this spring, or you're talking about planting conditions. It's it covers a wide percentage of the state of what we've been dealing with.
And you just hope that this cycle breaks through, because I'm not going to say it, you're not going to say it, that you could maybe use a rain shower right now.
I will not ask for a rain shower right now. Be careful what you ask for, I was told. But the thing about it is, you know, as a farmer, we're dependent on Mother Nature, and that's the one thing in the operation that I cannot control, so I'm not going to worry about it. I'm going to take what it's given to me and just worry about the risks that I can do something about and move forward the best we can.
One other thing I want to wrap up on that fall harvest. When you get into November, December, the temperature kind of is not in your favor, and it gets to be expensive to try and dry high 20s corn. I was looking at some video earlier today. Propane, we had this propane shortage. Was that an impact in your decision from the fall?
You know, yeah, propane up here wasn't short supply, but with the number of acres that did not get harvested in the fall that spent the winter in the field, the propane shortages in North Dakota weren't as bad as some other areas, but the price was up there. But the problem in North Dakota is November is usually not too bad, but once you get into December, when you're trying to dry high moisture corn, your outside temperatures a lot of times are hanging around zero. Well, it takes a lot of extra propane to dry corn when you have those low temperatures. So it's a decision, a management decision that each operation has to make, is how much do you dry, what do you do? For our family, it was one part of the decision-making process to decide to leave our corn stand until spring. It's never easy to do that, but it was, since we had done it before, we knew it would work out. We had the faith that it would work for us by letting it stand over winter.
What's your best field of corn look like right now?
Weedy, it needs to be sprayed. But no, actually, the thing I'll say is the acres that we did get planted in 2020, for the most part, have a decent stand. They look good. We have nothing that, I don't believe we'll have much corn that makes knee high by the 4th of July, kind of the old saying up here that we usually try and hit. But that happens every once in a while. Right now, our corn crop's all going to hinge on what we get for heat coming in July and August. And if we can get some time, it rains.
Sounds like every other corn grower I've heard.
It doesn't matter what state you're in. If you raise corn, a lot of the challenges we face are all the same. Sometimes just different magnitude, but that's the great thing about agriculture. You can talk to a farmer, whereas Iowa or Georgia or California or North Dakota, you know, and a lot of the issues that we face are all the same.
All right, Randy, you're outside of Buffalo, North Dakota, which is west of Fargo. Describe the land. What's it look like?
So we're on the outskirts edge of the Red River Valley, and it's pretty flat. You get west of us to get some more rolling, but I'll put it this way is when the Pyrotechnic Guild has a fireworks show in Fargo, which is 38 miles away, I can usually see the fireworks from my patio. So it's pretty flat.
It is.
That's a heavier soil, so that's part of our problem, you know, is typically in the spring getting rid of moisture. Not having enough moisture is usually where our location is our problem. So it's just some of the joys of a wet fall, a wet spring, but it's something that we just deal with.
I guess I didn't even prep you for this one on a political sense. Have you been paying attention to any of the trade stories or the renewable fuels interest or ethanol while you're trying to produce at the same time, get your crop in and out?
Well, I've been trying to, you know, and trying to keep updated. I know there's a lot of things I do need to get myself updated. I've been kind of out of the loop a little bit the last week here, but, you know, a lot of it, you know, the focus up here has been, is trying to get, you know, glad to see some of the ethanol plants come back online here that were kind of slowed down, especially in this state here in the last month, few weeks. But, you know, we're just really watching trade. I mean, trade is a big one, you know, especially for North Dakota, because a lot of our products leave the state. Doesn't matter what commodity you're talking about. So it's we're just really hoping to see, you know, the more trade and these agreements that have been done just being expanded.
Which one was a bigger deal for you, phase one of China or USMCA?
So from North Dakota and from the corn standpoint, USMCA was a bigger deal for the corn growers of North Dakota than China, because with Canada and Mexico, so much of our product was ethanol or corn goes to those two countries. And also with the dry beans, you know, that was very important for that industry also for North Dakota. Now, the soybean growers, you know, in North Dakota, China was a big deal because a lot of our soybeans go to the Pacific Northwest export market. And, you know, a lot of those beans end up going to Asia. So that's really something that is important for those producers. So it really depends on which hat you're wearing. If you're talking as a corn farmer or talking as a soybean grower, you know, which is more important to you?
So we'll just say D, all of the above.
That is correct.
All right, Randy Melvin, I appreciate the time. Thank you so very much.
Yep, thank you for having me.
Like any good producer, I forgot a couple of questions after we finished recording because the raining stopped and the snow was gone, but there were still challenges this year, right, Randy?
Yeah, I mean, so we got the snow gone and we got through planting. We had some showers, but we're right in the middle of our edible bean planting. Luckily, we're done with harvest, but last Sunday through Tuesday, we had an inch and a half to 2.3 inches of rain with 70 mile an hour winds. So some of the corn that is still standing is pretty flat right now. It's, I really feel for our neighbors that still have corn out. It's a challenge, especially in the spring, but, you know, the corn harvest was tough enough before this one because in early April we had an ice storm and our corn actually stood really good all winter until that April ice storm. And actually it didn't break the stalks. It pulled the stalks out by the roots. And so we had areas in the field that were lodged from that April ice storm. And now with this windstorm on it, there's not a lot of plants left standing in these cornfields. So I am just thankful personally that we had our corn off. But my heart does go out to the neighbors because it's a stressful, even more stressful harvest now as they're trying to get that corn out of the field.
They were able to sustain the snow and the rain, and then it's the wind and the freezing rain.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Well, the freezing rain in April, it may be like for us, it may have took 5, 10%, maybe 15% areas in the field that laid down. But, and when we're harvesting, you know, here in May, those fields, we only had one field that was really bad. Other than that, everything else had stood very well. I was very happy with it. Just impressed with how that corn made it through 375 days, in some cases in the field. But the thing about it is, you know, the corn, you have to get it when you can, and that's just kind of what we went through.
Yeah, the whole 375-day corn comment, I've seen that before. That's a good one. So what's the longest corn you've had?
Oh, boy. So in 2010, we had some 385-day corn, but this year we're able to get everything off under 375 days. So it was a challenge, but we made it work.
You take victories where you can.
That's right. That's right.
Thanks to Randy Melvin and the North Dakota Corn Growers for their help in making this interview happen. I'm Paul Yeager. Thanks for listening.